on church planning and bring to the assembly any changes from year to year that experience might dictate.
Motion's before you. Is there discussion on this portion, this recommendation? Anyone want to discuss it? All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Number 13.
Item 13. That the proposed changes in Chapter 5 of the Book of Church Order to clarify the membership of mission churches, Attachment B, be approved and passed to the Presbytery according to our constitutional process.
Mr. Moderator, this is also going to come in through Judicial Business Committee, and I think that's the preferable place for it to be handled, but the language is actually there.
By common consent, we'll defer that to the Judicial Business Report.
Item 14, that the Assembly receive the report of a special committee on retirement and nursing facilities, Attachment C, commend those who serve so faithfully on the committee, and pass the recommendations contained in the report to our presbyteries and churches. I move your adoption. I understand there is an amendment that's going to be requested by Mr. Baird.
All right. Is discussion. It's before you, Mr. Baird, at 8.
Ken Baird, teaching elder from Southern Florida Presbytery. The amendment is to add the following words to the end. And that approval be granted to Southern Florida Presbytery to survey churches of our denomination, determining level of interest and need, making information available upon request of any church corps. At a second, I would speak to it, sir.
Is there a second? Yeah, good. Proceed, Mr. Baird.
This amendment is simply asking for three things, and I've spoken to the chairman of the committee of commissioners and to the Reverend Phil Clark. Number one, it's asking for a survey, as did the request of the committee. The second thing, the expenses would be borne by the Committee of Florida Presbytery. We have been involved in this already, and we are in the process, and we are prepared to bear the expenses. And number three, all information that we gain would be made available to any church court, church session, or any presbytery, or any other committee of the denomination.
All right, does anyone wish to speak to the amendment? The amendment is before you. Are you ready to vote? All in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, no. The motion is amended. Is before you. Mr. Baird again.
Mr. Moderator, we would have some information before the day is available. Any commissioner that wants it, we will make it available so that you'll have something to take home. Thank you.
All right. The motion is amended. Is before you. Mr. McNair, microphone 2.
Mr. Moderator, if I understand properly, in Attachment C, Recommendation 2A, to encourage the establishment of Christian care centers for the elderly and infirm by local congregations, presbyteries, and groups of individuals, we may have church-operated care centers. If I understand it properly, I would like to speak against that particular position. The experience that in the providence of God has been mine, serving on three boards, one of which is national, developing care centers throughout the United States, each of them running between $20 and $30 million, brings to my mind some of the tremendously complex problems. The situation of the Methodist Church in California evidences the intricacies that come from those problems. And no matter how the terminology is placed, the courts seem prevalent to point to the denomination as the responsible agent if in any way they seem formally to be backing it or subsidizing it. And I believe that when we see the cost involved and then multiply this by the need, even taking a factor of safety of 75%, we could find ourselves as a denomination with an entire series or chain of work in this nature that could have some very long-range effects. I myself carry $1 million indemnity, and my board carries $20 million indemnity, simply because of class action suits and everything else that come up. I've been involved in them constantly through legal counsel, and I fear the impact of suggesting to our churches and to our presbyteries to go quite that far. Yet, I'm not happy with para-ecclesiastical organizations by and far. I think in our culture, this would be the better way to go.
All right, thank you, Mr. McNair. The motion seems to not only look for further study, but also to be a direct recommendation, so that's the way it's wording. Microphone 6.
Joe Moorcraft, North Georgia Presbytery. I would like to amend the motion, and if I get a second, speak to it, please, sir.
All right, state your amendment.
Teaching elder. In attachment C, I move you, sir, that under capital letter B, recommendation 1, that we strike letter D, which reads, finally, the civil government in providing for the common good should deal with Christian needy in the same way it deals with non-Christian needy, recognizing that such care is provided by common tax monies. And if I get a second, I'd like to speak to it, please.
Is there a second? Did I hear a second? Second? All right. Go ahead.
Since the Word of God is clear in Romans 13 that the power to tax that God gives the civil government is to be used in the administration of justice, the punishing of the lawbreaker for the protection of the lawkeeper, and not to be used for the administration of welfare, and since in this country biblical Presbyterianism has always been in the forefront of the battle against anything that smacks of a socialistic welfare state, I urge the passage of this amendment.
All right, is there discussion on the amendment? The amendment would be to delete a portion of the recommendation. Microphone 9.
Mr. Moderator, brethren, I served on the Retirement and Nursing Facilities Committee and helped draft the language.
Teaching elder of Robert Sweet from Western Carolina. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Moderator. The reason that this language is in here and the reason it's in the fourth position is that we believe that Christians should pay taxes just like non-Christians should pay taxes. And we want to be clear that the General Assembly does not take a position that says that Christians should not receive the same benefit from the federal government in the form of whether it be Social Security or Medicare or Medicaid or any other benefit which their tax dollars have paid for. That we want to be careful that we not take a position as an assembly that says that we should not claim those benefits which our tax dollars have paid for. And that's the reason the wording is in here, and I would speak against the amendment.
All right. Anyone further on the amendment? On the amendment only. You ready to vote on the amendment? All those in favor of the amendment indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed to the amendment, no.
No.
Amendment fails. The motion is now before you. Any further discussion on the motion? Yes, Robert Sweet. Microphone 9, please.
Mr. Moderator, Bob Sweet from Western Carolina. Could you clarify where are we right now?
The motion is before us, and we're open to discussion on the motion.
The motion, are there any amendments to it, or the motion to approve?
Mr. Barrett had an amendment to it, which has been approved.
So this is the motion itself?
That's the motion itself, that's correct. Number 7, microphone 7, Bill Swain, ruling elder, Southern Florida.
Thank you. What I would like to point out, that what you heard about the experience of other churches is not the same plan that the Southern Florida Presbytery has in mind. The finances there would be handled outside of the Presbyterian Church in America by private enterprise, but the planning and the direction would be in the hands of the PCA.
Well, I think Mr. McNair's concern was that's exactly what happened in the Methodist Church, and the court held that in a connectional arrangement, notwithstanding that dichotomy, the church was still obligated to pay. I would really suggest that Mr. McNair be used as a consultant in this study in South Florida due to his long experience, whether the motion passes or not. Is there a further discussion on the motion? Number 8, Mr. Baird.
Jim Baird, Southern Florida. I'm concerned that this be passed, and I don't have the concerns that Don McGarry does, but I wonder if perhaps it couldn't be alleviated if Don feels strongly about it, if he would simply make an amendment to Attachment C by which the words local congregations and groups of individuals would be eliminated. But I would hate to see our assembly turn this down, and we'd be back 1 year before we can begin to make the kind of progress that is obviously necessary in establishing some of these retirement centers.
Do you construe this motion to give the go-ahead to actually start construction and committing funds, or do you construe this motion to be reporting back at your findings at another assembly?
This motion here would, as far as Southern Florida Presbytery is concerned, only give us the opportunity to offer a survey. We had planned to go ahead and make the preliminary steps that are necessary for the establishment of such a life care center. And all we are asking for is the privilege of making a survey. We would be pleased and had planned to involve as many of the leaders, such as Don, into our program. But all we were asking is the privilege of surveying. But I would hope that there would be some other presbyteries that would be involved in the same kind of planning that is necessary.
All right, thank you. Are you ready to vote on the motion? Does anybody else wish to speak? Seeing no one rising, time is up. Seeing no one standing, no need to put the vote. All in favor of the motion as amended, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Number 15.
Item 15. A, that the report of the 5 and 5 be approved as reflected in attachment D. B, that the assembly take notice of the approaching end of the fifth year and authorize the continuation of the effort according to the recommendation of the Committee on NUS and amended by attachment E, section 6, page 729. 6, in order to establish a permanent program in the place of 5 and 5, the Committee on Missions to the North America opposes the following changes in the program as it was originally established. A loan may be made not only to an organized church, but to a mission church when such loan is enthusiastically recommended by the Presbytery of jurisdiction. B, ordinarily no loan will be made to an organized church already possessing a sanctuary when the loan is to be used for the expansion of existing facilities or for the replacement of those facilities. The purpose of the fund will be to help new churches obtain land and or first buildings they could not obtain by other means. C, as approved by the 8th General Assembly, the portion of the fund will be set aside as an endorsed and endowment with loans being made for new church development from the income received on these invested funds. Regular undesignated gifts will not be placed in the endowment, but only those gifts so designated by the donor will be added to the endowment. You will notice, please, that item C in our report replaces item C in the permanent committee's report. Item C in our report is item D in the permanent committee's report.
All right. Recommendation 15 is before you. Fred Morris, number 10.
Mr. Moderator, Fred Marsh, Teaching Elder, Mississippi Valley. I rise to offer a substitute for item 6A. I would move that item 6A of the Permanent Committee Report on page 729 be substituted for 6A of the Committee of Commissioners Report. I would like to speak to it.
All right, is there a second to the motion to substitute? Second, all right, go ahead.
Fathers and brothers, I hope you find the distinction here. It's an extremely important one, and let me say clearly that we believe that the Committee of Commissioners recommendation 6A is something that would be a very serious mistake. We need either to keep policy as it is or return to the Permanent Committee's recommendation. The differences are two. In the Permanent Committee's recommendation, the desire is to open up the possibility of a mission church borrowing money from 5 and 5. And that's the crucial change in policy. In the past, only organized particular churches have been allowed to do that. However, in the original committee's recommendation, the two important differences are, first of all, that mission church be properly chartered as a legal entity, and secondly, that the presbytery be responsible for securing the funds. I have to speak against the Committee of Commissioners report because it's simply too loose. The mission church, even if it's defined as we act on the Judicial Committee's recommendation, is still not a proper entity unless it is chartered as such, and there is no one really responsible for these funds. The presbytery also may enthusiastically recommend the work if they're not responsible for the money. However, if they are responsible for the money, I think we may find some of that enthusiasm diminishing. And as a matter of fact, I know of many situations where a presbytery knows almost nothing about the work and yet has passed on to the permanent committee its recommendation or at least assent that a loan be approved. So I would beg you either to vote for the substitute, which would return us to the permanent committee's recommendation, or that we vote down the proposition altogether and leave policy as it now stands.
All right, you've heard the substitute motion. Anybody wish to speak on the substitute? Yes, Mr. Schuf, on 7.
Schuf, Mid-Atlantic. Really a question through the chair to the permanent committee chairman.
Speak a little closer.
I'm sorry. I'd like to know how many of the loans that have presently been placed by 5 and 5 have been defaulted on, if that's such a problem.
Mr. Marsh, can you answer that?
Mr. Moderator, I don't think we would want to use the word default. There are some who are behind on their payments, but I don't think we've had the responsibility abandoned altogether. But it's quite different where we are dealing with an organized particular church. That's a clear entity that we know is there.
Mm-hmm. Microphone 8. You wish to speak on the substitute?
Yes, Mr. Moderator.
All right. Identify yourself.
Willie Nell, Elder Carl Fickling, Pacific Presbytery. I like to point out, though, that I'm against the substitute. I do not feel that it is necessary for the presbytery to co-sign for a loan that makes the presbytery legal binding to a loan. I'm not sure that all of our presbyteries are actually themselves a legal body. Is that true?
I can't answer that question. I only know about my own, but
my understanding is that the churches need only be a legal entity if they own property. I don't know of all the presbyteries that own property, therefore they do not themselves need to be a legal entity.
All right. I can't answer that question. I don't know. Mr. Clerk, can you answer that?
Mr. Moderator, our Book of Church Order provides for congregations. Is this the question regarding congregations, whether they own property?
Whether they're incorporated.
Because this is requiring the presbytery, the substitution, to co-sign as a legal entity for the mission church.
The presbyteries, to date, that I do not know of presbyteries, maybe one or two have formed themselves as corporations. I don't think generally they have. I think they're not incorporated, most of them.
That was my understanding also.
South Florida has incorporated. Number 10, Fred.
Teaching Elder Fred Marsh again. Just a point of information. The Permanent Committee's recommendation does not say that the presbytery co-sign. It says that by simple motion they agree to take responsibility for. It's an ethical responsibility. It's not a legally binding contract.
All right. Microphone 7 on the substitute.
Teaching Elder Michael Rogers, Ascension Presbytery. Having been in this situation very recently, I suggest that the substitute motion is both good, but will, if passed, serve to probably defeat any mission church or chapel receiving such a loan, because the presbyteries would not wish to take this responsibility. I suggest that, and I will make it as a form of an amendment, that
May
I amend the substitute motion?
You've already spoken to it, so you're out of order at this time. You should make your amendment and then speak to it. So I'll have to recognize other people at this time. Number 4.
Moderator, John Graham, teaching elder from the Central Florida Presbytery. Hearing the discussion by the brethren, I'm wondering how much weight enthusiastically recommend would carry. Don't you think that needs a little definition?
That's open to a little judgment, I mean.
Yes, it is.
I think enthusiastically endorsing would mean saying you're guaranteeing the payment. Mr. Hitchcock at number 2.
Bert Hitchcock from New Jersey Presbytery, teaching elder. I'd like to amend the substitute motion on page 729, item 6.A, to just simply put a period after Presbytery of Jurisdiction and delete the rest of that sentence. If I could speak to that, what this does is it leaves in the requirement that the mission church be a...
I think you're out of order, Mr. Hitchcock. That is the substitute motion.
I want to amend the substitute motion. I want to strike part
of...
Hold on
a minute. We got to get our ground rules. What do we got?
Weak trust. Tell him to bring, with the page, bring his amendment, written amendment, Tiff. I think he's exactly what he did. He said put a period right there. That's the thing. Okay. Yeah, I see. That is the proper substitute. Yeah. That is the proper substitute.
What we've decided is Mr. Hitchcock is trying to amend the substitute. The substitute is the original permanent committee report, which they are trying to substitute for the Committee of Commissioners report. Now, Mr. Hitchcock wants to amend the permanent committee's report, which is on page, 729? And how do you want to amend that?
I simply want to put a period after the word Presbytery of Jurisdiction in the third line of point A.
And what would that delete?
That would delete, and when the presbytery by simple motion agrees to take the responsibility for repayment of the loan should the mission church fail.
Very good. You've heard the amendment to the substitute. Is there a second to that? Second? Is there discussion on the amendment to the substitute?
May I speak to that, Mr. Moderator?
Yes, sir.
The effect of this is that it leaves in the requirement that the mission church be a legal entity. It strikes the requirement that the presbytery take the responsibility of repaying the loan. And the reason I think that this is important is that as it happens, most of the mission churches tend to be in the areas that are the weakest presbyteries, because that's where the church is growing. And I know in the former Philadelphia Presbytery, where we had a number of mission churches, there's no way that Philadelphia Presbytery could have taken financial responsibility to repay the loan. And yet that's where the loans are needed. And it seems to me that it is the it is the responsibility, and I don't say this crassly, but of the whole assembly to underwrite those works and to stand behind those works, even though they are out in the weakest areas of the church.
All right. Is there discussion on the amendment to the substitute? Midge Cooley. Microphone 10.
Mr. Moderator, this is E. Kroll Cooley, teaching elder from Ascension Presbytery. I rise to speak against my good friend Burt's amendment. It seems to me that we do need some backing more in addition to simply the mission church, even though the mission church has attained legal status, to stand behind these loans from 5 and 5. In the case of the church in Buffalo, I'm confident that had this requirement been on the books, that Ascension Presbytery would have not only enthusiastically endorsed the loan, but would have agreed by simple or complex motion to stand behind the loan to the Mission Church in Williamsville, New York. If our presbyteries, which are closest to the actual mission churches, do not have enough confidence in the mission church that they will stand behind the church to the point of being willing to repay the loan should the church planting effort fail, then that church is not strong enough to be the recipient of a loan. I believe this amendment that Bert has offered should be turned down. We should return to the amendment offered by Fred, which gives the required safeguards and yet opens the door for mission churches that are solid and can be endorsed and backed by their presbyteries to receive these loans. I'm against the present amendment.
Thank you. Discussion now on the amendment to the substitute. Number 9.
Bob Schwanebeck, teaching elder from Grace Presbytery, member of Committee Commissioners on MUS. It seems to me we tend to forget that presbyteries are also to be engaged in the practice of planting churches and to accept the financial responsibility for those churches. And to also add to that responsibility, guaranteeing the payment to the MUS loans would seem to put an undue burden upon them. It seems like MUS is saying, we'll go into an area, we'll plant a church, we'll give it the money, but then the presbytery has to be responsible for that money.
Mr. Moderator, time on the main issue has elapsed.
Time has run. Does the body wish to continue this discussion 5 minutes? If you do, indicate by saying aye. Opposed, no.
No.
Time has expired. We will now vote on the amendment to the substitute. Clerk, would you read the amendment to the substitute?
On page 529, 6A would read, a loan may be made not only to an organized church, but to a mission church properly chartered as a legal entity when such loan is enthusiastically recommended by the presbytery jurisdiction, period.
All right, those in favor of the amendment indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed to the amendment, no. The amendment fails and the substitute is now before us. We'll proceed to vote on the substitute. Those in favor of the substitute, which is the permanent committee's recommendation, those in favor of that substitute indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The substitute has now been replaced the recommendation, a portion of the recommendation of the Committee of Commissioners, and now the report of the Committee of Commissioners as amended by the substitute is now before you. Are you ready to vote? Do we have time on the main motion, or is that expired? Do you want to continue 5 minutes on the main motion? Those in favor indicate by saying aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
The main motion now, as amended by the substitute, is before you. Is this a point of order? Point of information. State your name.
Sam Brown, Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. On page 724, attachment B, section 5, 7. It is the intention of the Presbyterian Church in America that mission churches enjoy the, quote, same status as particular churches in relation to civil government. At what point does a mission church become a legal entity? We have a couple lawyers here that might be able to answer that.
Well, you have two entities involving a church. First, you have an ecclesiastical body, and once that has a session that functions, it becomes an ecclesiastical body. You also have the function of the church that deals with property and whether it's recognized by the law as an entity, and then that occurs when it's incorporated. Now, they're... Why don't you tell them that? Okay, number 10, Fred Marsh has some help for us on this.
Mr. Moderator, I don't have any help. I thought we deferred discussion of that, but the reason I rose is I thought we were proceeding to vote, and a further question about the report was asked.
This was a point of information that was properly presented. The gentleman wanted some information.
I'm sorry,
I believe that the intent of this was, as far as Internal Revenue is concerned, we're getting tax deductions, and I think that's the purpose of it. All right?
Mr. Moderator?
Yes, to Rick Canada.
When you say, Rick Canada, Covenant Presbytery, Teaching Elder, and a Secretary of the Permanent Committee, when you say the motion as amended is before us, you mean all of Recommendation 15 or just that 6A that we've been debating? The reason I raised the question is there is a difference between the Committee of Commissioners report, if you get on down to B and C, between that and the recommendation of the Permanent Committee that we have not had an opportunity to discuss, to make clear to the General Assembly. It'd be good for them to realize the difference and to have discussed that difference before we vote on B and C.
I think that's a good point. The chairman of the Committee of Commissioners should always have the last say before the vote on the recommendation. And so, Mr. Fittler,
My point would be if we could divide the situation at least and maybe vote on A that we've been discussing and save B and C so that we could discuss them.
We've already approved A of the Permanent Committee, and so that now becomes A in the recommendation. We've already adopted A of the Permanent Committee, and then that's been substituted in 15 in lieu of the Committee of Commissioners A. And now the whole 15 is before us, and I believe the body did not want to discuss this further. But I do think Mr. Fittler should have a final remark. Did you have a point of order, Phil?
I have a point of order only in that B and C have not yet been discussed. And we are being kept from discussing B and C. Now, we ought to have a continuation of time, but you've already...
Perhaps the Assembly was not aware of the point we were dealing with at the last time, so I'll put it again to the Assembly. Do you wish to continue discussion 5 minutes? If you do, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no? All right, we'll continue 5 minutes, and you can... We have 1 minute before the order of the day. Perhaps we should suspend the discussion at this time.
What is the order of the day? What is the order of the day?
Okay. Well, no, we've got 11 minutes, so let's go ahead with the discussion.
Mr. Moderator?
Yes, Mr. Marsh.
I rise to offer a further substitute on this item, Fred Marsh, Teaching Elder, Mississippi Valley Presbytery, and I appreciate the court's indulgence to carry this discussion further. I would like to move the substitution of item 6C, page 729 of the Permanent Committee report, that it be added back as item 6C on page 773 of the Commissioner's report, and that would move item C down to D. In other words, pulling back item 6C of the Permanent Committee report.
But you're not putting it in lieu of 6C, you're adding it as D, is that correct?
I'm adding it, period, however we want to letter
it. All right. You all understand that? He's taking 6C of the permanent committee report and adding it under 6C of this report, supposedly as 6D. Is there a second to that motion to substitute? It's seconded. Did you want to explain?
Yes, sir. I would like to speak to it, if I may. It has reference to the matter of a service charge. We are recommending, and my substitute would have the effect, that a 5% annual service charge be placed upon the loans that are made to the churches. This has been labeled various ways. It's been called interest. It's even been called usury. And I simply want to point out to the assembly that we are making loans to churches with absolutely no dollar amount being returned beyond what they originally borrowed. We're all aware that money loses value every year, but that's not what the 5% is to cover. The 5% is a true service charge. At this time, when people give a dollar to 5 and 5, they're giving 95 cents to a local church, and the other 5 cents is going for administrative costs. We feel it's only fair that the churches which receive this help join at least in paying for the administrative costs involved. It still involves no interest, but that they pay for the administrative costs involved and at least pick that much up, since they are getting the loan at no interest charge otherwise.
All right. On the substitute, number 6. Number 6.
Mike Williams, Evangel Presbytery. I have a question here. In the beginning, when 5 and 5 was established, if my memory serves correctly, some of the funds that were given to 5 and 5 were stipulated, not all of them, but some of them were given under the thought that no service charge, interest, or anything else would be taken from those funds. And I'm just raising a question. Our true 5 and 5 is going to be terminating. We're talking about restructuring it. Do we separate funds out that had the stipulation no service charge, no interest, no usury? I'm just asking the question, how do we approach this situation if it was correctly stated that some of the funds should have none of these charges attached to them? This is something I think that we need to approach, or I have misunderstood, or my memory has failed me.
Can you answer that question, Mr. Marsh? Number 10.
Mr. Moderator, just a point of information. At the present time, in accordance with the original policy, all of the costs of raising the funds and administering the funds come out of contributions to the funds. And what we are proposing is that the churches which borrow the money, in effect, will be paying for the cost of raising the funds and administering the funds.
Okay, the issue is clearly in focus, and let's try to, with the time we have left, not repeat a lot of things that have been said. Number 5.
Ruling Elder Robert Miller, New River Presbytery. I can't help but feel that no matter what the purpose of this charge, it still appears as interest and could affect giving to this purpose. Besides which, I believe that this puts the cost of administration precisely on those churches which are in need of help and therefore the least able to support this.
All right, number 8.
Teaching Elder Rod Mays, New River Presbytery, member of the Committee of Commissioners on MUS. We discussed this quite a bit in the committee meeting, and we were trying to tell the difference between interest and a service charge, and I made the comment, and I still believe this, that a service charge is just a nice way of saying we're charging interest. I would remind this court that the Word of God speaks very clearly against usury and interest, and we read in Ezekiel chapter 18, if a man is righteous, he does not lend money on interest.
All right, number 9.
Mr. Moderator, Five minutes have elapsed.
5 minutes have elapsed. Do you wish to continue another 5 minutes? All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
You're ready to vote on the substitute. Those in favor of the substitute, the permanent committee's recommendation being added to the committee of commissioners' recommendation, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The substitute fails. Are there any other amendments to this? Are you ready to vote on the recommendation as amended? Seeing no one standing at the microphone seeking recognition. Number 11.
Yes, teaching elder Will Hesterberg, Ileana Presbytery. A point of information, are we now limiting debate on item 15.6C?
Do you want to speak in favor or against the existing C?
I want to add an amendment after I ask some information.
I'm afraid the time has run, and we let me put it again now. Do you wish to continue debate on item 15? If you do, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
All right, we'll put the motion as it now appears, as amended. Recommendation 15. All in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, no.
No.
15 as amended carries. The gentleman at number 11, you could make your amendment when the report as a whole comes before the body. Number 16,
that the proposal from the Committee on MUS to establish a fund for North America disaster relief and other emergency aid, attachment F, page 704, be returned to the committee for rewriting to include more responsibilities of the presbyteries, and include the possibility of special funds to help organize churches needing special financial help. I'd like to clarify one item, if I may, on that. That last sentence in there, that last phrase, include the possibility of special funds to help organize, it should be, churches, ED, needing special financial help, is to enable it, this restudy, to look at the issue that was proposed by the Presbyterian Siouxland. You'll find that dealt with over in item 6. It was overture 19, Presbyterian Siouxland.
Right.
I move you to the adoption of this motion.
Number 16 is before you. Is there any discussion on number 16? Number 2.
I'm Bill Iverson from the Philadelphia Presbytery. I want an item to go back to the committee. Would it be, could I put that as an amendment to this?
Just read your amendment and then we'll see where we are.
The amendment. And to provide special shepherding care and temporary diaconal assistance to our ministers who serve the church, particularly with the M&A, and are without charge as they have need. That such care for ministers through the appropriate M&A Presbytery Committee, and that the M&A Presbytery Committee be provided with the RPES Presbytery Ministerial Visitation Plan. And I'd like to speak to that.
Is there a second to the amendment? Second? All right.
Mr. Moderator, I saw a minister crying last night, and I know why he was crying. His family is destitute. He's without charge, and there seems to be no plan or way to care for this man. I know of another great minister who's been sick for 6 months. And he's not got a letter from his presbytery or those who had originally hired him for his work. There's no care being given to a vast number of our ministers. And I've been very much impressed with the Reformed Presbyterians. They've been at this longer for the very marvelous way that they have care for their ministers and discover their needs and meet those needs. And like Paul and Calvin, with the argument from the greater to the lesser, or if we don't care for our own brethren in the ministry, to pray for them and care for them, and Jesus said, I don't really care if you're born again with words, if you don't care for the least of the brethren, and visit them and feed them and clothe them, you can go to hell. Now that's what he said. And we are wicked and guilty in regard to our fellow ministers. The poor, even poor preachers, are not popular among us. And I think we should ask God's forgiveness and repent and do something about it.
All right. Further discussion on the amendment, Mr. Clark. Number 10.
Philip Clark from Pacific Presbytery. I would like to move a substitute motion in order that I may speak properly, and that is that the committee's proposal number 6 be substituted for the proposal of the Committee of Commissioners. And that is that the proposal from the Committee on NUS to establish a fund for North American disaster relief and other emergency aid as an attachment F be approved, and that the churches be encouraged to give to the fund any monies designated for diaconal relief purposes in excess of local needs at the end of each year. And so on. It's on page number 704.
All right, you are moving a substitute for the amendment, but I think that's out of order because you're dealing with the entire, help me now. I think what your substitute goes beyond his amendment. You're not trying to deal just with his amendment. You're trying to deal with all of the sections. So I think we have to deal with this first, and then you can proceed to do that. I'll rule that out of order. Is there further discussion on the amendment to, yes, number 6, Mr. Morrison?
Irwin Morrison, teaching elder, Philadelphia Presbytery. I agree wholeheartedly with Bill's amendment. The difficulty is the language. Some of us have problems with what is termed the pastoral visitation ministry in northern RPCES presbyteries, which involves church visitation, a concept that I am yet to be educated on in terms of its application in the RPCES. I think there's some good aspects to it, but I think the language of this amendment is such that I'd have difficulty supporting it because it includes other things within the context of the RPCES and the joining and receiving. I just wonder if the language, perhaps during the lunch break, which has come now, couldn't be perfected somewhat so that we concentrate on ministry and help to pastors and not so much on the concept of pastoral visitation, which includes church visitation, at least in the northern presbyteries of the RPCES. I have some problems with that.
Irwin, the order of the day has come. Why don't you get with Bill, and maybe over the lunch period you guys can come back and have something we'll all agree with. Is this point of order?
Yes, sir. The motion only says to provide them with this information on how they did it. It doesn't say to do that.
All right.
Just provide with the information.
Thank you. We've reached the order of the day. Point of order? Number 11.
John Holmes from Mid-Atlantic Presbytery. I'd like to raise a point of order before we make our next vote. I know this is not a vote that many will feel a great deal of passion for, but the point of order that I would raise is that when we vote by voice vote, we are not to represent the intensity of our feeling with our volume, but the number of votes we're casting. And I found several times that in certain areas of our court where I've been sitting, occasionally men are disproportionate in volume to the number of votes they're casting. And I'd like to admonish the brethren as a point of order regarding this, that we be careful not to deceive our moderator or the rest of the members of the court as to how many are voting in any direction.
Thank you. Well taken. We will now recess, and I would ask Teaching Elder Harry Reeder to come forward to microphone 8 and give us a prayer as we close this section of the meeting. Please stand. One announcement before that, Mr. Gilchrist.
The New River Presbytery will meet at 1:15 p.m. today behind the stage. It's only for about 2 or 3 minutes. New River Presbytery, 115.
Mr. Reeder at microphone 8.
Father, we thank you very much for the time that we've been able to devote to study of the business of the church, to action concerning the business of the church. Father, there's more before us today. We pray for refreshment and relaxation during the lunch hour, and that, Father, you would give us continued guidance even in our discussions. And as we will return with the purpose of being faithful to your word and to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Turn, please, to hymn number 710. My theory is if we all rise and sing together, then perhaps after the hymn is over, we'll all sit down together. And so 710, and shall we sing the first two and the last two verses, omitting the middle one? 710, please.
Brother Menard Lewis to go to microphone number 4 and lead us in prayer.
Our Father, in the words of the song, we need to help us then to depend upon your Spirit to conduct your business in Him, realizing that without your Son, Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Help us now this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. We are continuing with the report of the Committee of Commissioners on Mission to the United States. Are there any necessary announcements? I don't know of any. I believe the point at which we were working is on page 773, the adoption of number 16. The adoption of number 16 had been moved, and there was an amendment offered to that, which we may call the Iverson Amendment. Now, we'll have that read. But in the meantime, there were some other things that were presented and they began to debate, but those amendments were not, those substitutions and all, were not presented to the clerk. And they're not before us. And I would rule that we go back on our debating to number 16 and the Iverson Amendment. The Iverson Amendment is before us for debate. Mr. Iverson. Number 2. Number 2.
Mr. Moderator.
Yes, right.
Bill Iverson from the new Presbytery of the Northeast. I found out that I should say that. This is broader than just care of the particular ministers who may have worked with MNA, and it was suggested to me that I withdraw this in order to find some comprehensive way. We don't have much of a diaconal or there's some things that I have to still find out, and I might have been a little abortive or fast on this because we're caring for a lot of people here in this amendment, but it's broader, and I don't know the answer. I've been trying to find out where to bring this in. I think perhaps I should withdraw that if my second would do it, and we won't forget about it, but we need some help from some wiser persons than myself. I discovered one presbytery had 10 ministers without charge, and their talents are being wasted, and some have suffered some. And they weren't under M&A, but that's just what happened. So I would like to withdraw it, being shown I should do so by some men that think it might come in better at another place.
I think a suggestion would be to put it in under the ministerial relief when that comes up.
Thank you, sir.
Is that satisfactory to the seconder? Is there no objection? If there's no objection, we'll allow Mr. Iverson to withdraw this amendment at this time. There were others who had proposals, but we do not have them before us, and I'd be entertain those proposals again if they desire to make them. Microphone number 7.
Roy Davenport, teaching elder, Western Carolina's Presbytery. First point of clarification. There is an amendment or a substitute motion on the floor. Is that correct?
There is no substitute motion on the floor, but the floor is open for it to be made. Substitute motion did not get to the clerk's desk.
So we are back to the original motion?
We're back to the original, and if someone wants to make that substitute motion and bring it forward the regular way, we'd be happy to have it.
I do not care to make it.
Care to make it?
No, I would speak against it if it were made. If it were still on the floor.
Yes.
As a member of the permanent, Committee of Commissioners, may I make a few comments as to the reason why the Committee of Commissioners referred this back to the committee, the Permanent Committee of MNA?
You're speaking to number 16.
Yes. Okay. I'd like to draw your attention to two things that were brought to our attention when we discussed this on page 729 in attachment F. The mandate for this grew out of the Ninth General Assembly asking the Committee on
in North America to be the agency to respond to disasters which were larger than local areas or churches, which is good. The committee asked to expand that to include that, not only that, but many other things. Now, we did not have a great deal of objection to that. One of the things that we thought was effective in this was that it completely bypassed any presbyterial activity, that the presbytery was not able to respond. Secondly, one of the other things is that in 3B, we thought the language was injudicious and therefore ought to be sent back. And I would like to read and bring to the attention of the commissioners this, that each particular church and mission having an excess of funds, particularly at year's end for, quote, diaconal, unquote, purposes, should share those funds with churches having a lack by forwarding them to the Assembly's Commission on Mission to the North America, designated for disaster relief and diaconal emergency funds. And we feel that that language is too strong and injudicious, in that it ought to be sent back to the committee and let them refine that and rework that. We're not opposing it. We're not opposing even them appealing for funds, special funds, so that they have them on hand when these disasters occur, but in a sense mandating that each church at the end of the calendar year take their excessive diaconal funds and forward them on to that committee. We objected to that, and we felt that ought to be refined.
May I ask a point of information from my ignorance? There is, I gather, a disaster relief and diaconal emergency fund. The MUS has that.
They are proposing in this the creation of that.
I see.
The Ninth General Assembly asked them to be the agency to respond to national disasters beyond the scope of a particular church congregation or even area, and to be the agency. They expanded that concept or that mandate of the Assembly to include not only that, but any other agencies which are relief agencies which they saw fit.
Well, then the establishment of the Disaster Relief and Diaconal Emergency Fund, it was expected that it be done by this attachment FB when it was approved?
Yes, sir.
The committee? So. The committee has no other formal place where that is formed?
No, sir.
This is it. This would have established it.
Yes, sir.
I see. So if this goes back to the committee. Now, may I ask another item for information of the committee? It says be returned to the committee for rewriting. Is it expected that the committee would rewrite it and report it back at this meeting?
No, sir.
Next year. Next year. I see. Well, there we straight then on what's going on. So you are speaking in favor of point 16.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Any speaking against? Some did before dinner. Uh-huh. Yes, number 7.
Mr. Moderator, Jim Meek, teaching elder from Louisiana Presbytery. I was hoping one of the brethren who knew more about this would make this recommendation. I would like to move that we substitute for number 16 the recommendation 6 of the permanent committee. In other words, that the fund in attachment F be established.
That's on page 704.
Yes, sir. And if I have a second, I'd like to speak to it.
This was a substitute motion that I understood had not reached the clerk's table and therefore was not yet before us. But if you make that motion, it was seconded. Was that a motion to amend? I hear no second. It is seconded. So the substitute motion is now before us.
That particular motion was made
and it was ruled out of order.
I see. Ruled out of order, but no reason why it should not be in order now. Okay, so you are in order to make the substitute motion and say it again.
To substitute the recommendation of the permanent committee, which was recommendation number 6 in their report. You gave us the page number a moment ago.
Yes, 704.
For item 16, in the Committee of Commissioners report.
It's been moved and seconded. Would you like to speak for it?
Yes, sir, I would. This attachment F on page 729, which contains the substance of the adoption of this fund, begins by stating that our nation is suffering a recession. We are not in good times in our nation, in our nations, as we've been urged to think of this morning. And I think it's, I don't see any problems in this serious enough to warrant our delaying ministering to needs for the period of 12 months until we can come back and polish the words here and there and spruce this thing up a wee bit. I don't think the problems in this attachment F are of such substance that we should delay beginning a fund to minister to our brothers and sisters and to our neighbors.
This is a motion, a speech in favor of the substitute, which is to substitute number 6 on 704 for what was before us, 16 on 773. Number 10, mic number 11. I believe number 10 had spoken before.
Yes. Mr. Moderator, this is Jim Hughes. I'm from the ruling elder from North Georgia Presbytery. I don't speak in opposition to the motion. However, I would like to remind the assembly that the relief fund sponsored by the trustees for the purpose of providing emergency relief for ministers and widows and others who have special needs is made as a special appeal at Christmas time each year, and I would certainly not like for us to be in competition with the Committee on North Mission to North America in trying to get funds for both of these relief-type efforts.
A matter of information, those relief funds are for ministers in need?
Yes, ministers, widows, orphans, others who have special needs. And again, I don't see that there's a particular competition between the two concepts, but I'm afraid if the if Mission to North America starts making an appeal right at the end of the year, there may be some real competition between the churches trying to decide where to give their funds, whether to give them to the relief fund for our purposes or to give them to Mission to North America for their purposes.
Thank you. Number 10, mic number 10.
Mr. Moderator, Fred Marsh, teaching elder, Mississippi Valley. I simply want to clarify, I think the position of the committee would be naturally in favor of going ahead with something rather than studying for another year. These items that have been raised in question, we would be very happy to take into account and work out some of the specific policies of this fund and this proposal in a way which would allow for those things to be considered. If the Assembly has strong feelings that certain details that have been raised must be worked out before they approve it, then it would need to go back for further study. I simply want to make that clarification. I also want to add one other, and that is that we should be clear that if item 6 in the Permanent Committee's report is acted on positively, if the substitute now is voted up, then the last clause in the Committee of Commissioners speaking to the issue of organizing churches needing financial help will have to be dealt with. It leaves the overture concerning that unanswered. And we would just assume those be dealt with separately. In our opinion, the two items don't belong together.
You're in essence speaking in favor of the substitution.
Yes, sir.
Is there any other debate? Can we go ahead to vote on the substitute amendment? I see no one else seeking the floor. Those in favor of the substitute amendment, is it clear to you? The original proposal of the committee versus the committee commissioner's report. Those in favor of the substitute, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
No.
I think that's a weak vote on both sides, but in favor of the A. I suppose we ought to count it. Those in favor of the substitution, please rise and be counted. Do we have the tellers here? Is Mr. Williamson not coming? Mr. Williamson not coming? May be seated. They have not been counted. They have not been counted. I see. Those opposed to the substitution, please rise and be counted. I think it's carried. I'll let them count. Not so hard to count right now. A lot of folks going home. No.
Wrong.
The vote is passed. The motion is passed and to substitute by a vote of 245 to 99. So that becomes then the motion before us. That is number 6 on page 704. I think we should vote now to make that the main motion, number 16. I'm not sure that's necessary because it would be taken care of when we adopt the report as a whole. But for uniformity's sake, shall we vote again that the substitute be accepted as the main motion now? Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. So ordered. We go on to number 17.
Mr. Moderator, mm-hmm. We can go on to number 17 if you wish, but as was pointed out by Mr. Marsh, this action you just took negates an action that we just took earlier on item 6, because it was item 6 was being answered by reference to recommendation number 16, but the portion of number 16 that answered that has been stricken, and so we still, so it's inevitably going to mean that we're going to have to deal with the overture number 19.
Could you inform us what that Overture 19 is about?
Overture 19 is found on page, just a moment, I had it here a moment ago. Overture 19 is found on page 31 in your book. If you'd like, I can read it, sir.
I think so.
Overture 19 from the Presbytery of the Southwest, whereas the Mission to North America Committee has its special interest in church planning, whereas our denomination does not have a special committee to help organize churches needing special financial help, and whereas churches begun with presbyters' approval meeting difficulties should be supported, therefore be it resolved that the General Assembly organize a church help fund committee.
What page was that on, sir?
Page 31.
Not on my book. Page 31, Overture 19. I see. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was resolved the General Assembly organize church help fund committee. And that was being acted upon, and not now. So we have a problem. I think, though, that we should go on with number 17 and 18, and perhaps in the meantime we can have wisdom, and before the report as a whole is moved, perhaps we can take up a part or something that will fulfill that. But we do have an obligation for that overture still before us. That is your point, Mr. Gardner.
Yes, sir.
Yes, well, shall we go ahead, number 17, and come back to that at the end of the...
Number 8. Don Darling from Gulf Coast. I'm not sure whether I'm information or order, but effectively, have we not answered that overture in the negative by killing this?
If we do nothing more, I think that is correct. But if we have killed it inadvertently, why, it could be brought up as a part of the committee as a whole.
Item number 17.
Sorry, thank you.
That the existing relationship
with Western Indian Mission Ministries Incorporated be extended for one additional year, and that the MUS committee be directed to request clarification concerning the following items of the doctrinal statement. There is an error on what follows here. It should be Article 3 and 5, the word set up his kingdom. Article 3, substitutionary sacrifice for the sins of the world. Article 4, fell into sin and in that sense is lost. Article 5, and elect. I move you its adoption.
You've heard the motion. Any comments on this?
I would like to say that the issue is to ask them to explain to us what they mean in their doctrinal statement by these particular words.
You all have
a copy, I believe, of that doctrinal statement. That doctrinal statement, it's unnumbered. It should be numbered 746. You were given it a few moments ago when you were given the material from the committee. It should be numbered 746. It is an unnumbered page. It is attachment, 1181H, it says up at the top. The doctrinal statement of the Western Indian Ministries Incorporated.
Thank you. Number four, microphone number four.
Bob Raymond, Ileana Presbytery. I would like to move to amend by asking the committee also to discuss with the Western Indian Mission Ministries their meaning of certain phrases in Article 1 as well. If there is a second, I will...
Move to add Article 1 to the list, and it has been seconded. What is Article 1? Can you summarize it?
Article 1 says God is a person. And I would prefer us to think of him as three persons. And also who has revealed himself as a Trinity. He is a Trinity. He has not simply revealed himself as a Trinity.
Thank you, sir. That amendment is before us to add Article 1 to the list here with this explanation. Are you ready to vote on that? I don't know that we need... I think probably we can do that by consent. There's no question. Number 9, Mike, number 9.
Roy Wesher from New Jersey. Article 2 on the Bible states nothing about inerrancy, and I'd like to have that added, too.
Looks as if we're going into it pretty thoroughly. That's good. By consent, can that be added to the amendment that is already before us? The amendment that is... we should have in writing both that statement on the Bible and also Dr. Raymond's, which is being presented. All of these things must come before us in writing, if you please. But it is being brought before us, we understand. And so, if there's no objection... that amendment will be taken. Yeah, number 3, you speaking on the amendment?
I have a question.
Yes.
Roland Barnes, teaching elder, Central Georgia Presbytery. When we say amendment, we are not to understand that we are not amending this statement.
We are amending it by addition.
We're amending the report.
We're amending this item number 17 by adding to it a reference to Article 1, and an additional item on Article 2.
Thank you very much.
Yes. And if there is no objection, this amendment will be added, be accepted, and then we have before us number 17. Okay? Number 17, then, are we ready to vote? The recommendation is that, as you see, the existing relationship be continued and further study as given here be given to it. Are you ready to vote on number 17? As amended. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. It passes. Next.
Item 18. A, that the report of the Joint Commission on Chaplains and Military Personnel be received, attachment G, and that its director, the Reverend William B. Leonard, Jr., be commended for having served the denomination so well. The Assembly is asked to take note of the statement on confidentiality prepared by the Commission as requested by the Ninth General Assembly. B, that the supplemental report of the Chaplains Commission of the Committee on the Mission to the U.S. on the proposed changes of Article 3 of the Constitution of the Presbyterian and Reformed Joint Commission on Chaplains and Military Personnel, Attachment L, be approved. And those page numbers, for your information, is in error there on that document. The proposed changes on the Constitution should be numbered 745. It was given out to you a few moments ago. Yes. I've been requested by the clerk also to report that the OPC has ratified this document as presented there, and as we are requesting that you ratify it. I move you, sir, the adoption of item 18.
Item 18 is moved that we adopt. Any questions? Discussion? Hearing none, I'll propose it to vote anyhow. I think it'd be well to have that on record. Those in favor, please say aye. Contrary, nay. It is passed.
Mr. Moderator, may I have a personal announcement that needs to be made, an emergency announcement. Jim Giddens, if you would come up to the desk, please. I have an important announcement message for you.
We may proceed, Mr. Fetter. Number 18, is it? 19? Okay, we're ready to go. There you go.
Number 19, that November the 21st be set aside as a special day of prayer for the typographical. For the United States and Canada and for the development of the Presbyterian Church in America. That a special offering be taken in our churches for the work of the Committee on Mission to the United States during the Thanksgiving season. Should this assembly accept the church extension and diaconal ministers of the RPCES, it should be remembered that the Board of National Presbyterian Mission has depended heavily on an annual Thanksgiving offering to meet its regular program needs. Without such an offering, the present resource of MUS could be severely drained. I move you, sir, the adoption of number 19.
Number 19 has been moved. I think we may say that after the statement on the United States and Canada that we will adjust this shortly.
Yes.
There's a recommendation a little bit later so as to make that not the mission of the President, not the mission of the United States, but the MNA, isn't that right?
It will be in due time.
Yes. Is there any objection or discussion on this matter? I see none, and therefore I
the
request. Mic number 3, discussion on number 19.
Yes, Mr. Moderator, teaching elder Dan Broadwater, Delmarva. One question regarding the second sentence of 19, regarding that a special offering be taken in our churches. Is that taken to be a mandate or a strong suggestion?
Would you like to answer?
This is the permanent committee's wording. I'd like for the permanent committee to address that.
Number 10.
Mr. Moderator, I think it's been well established that we can't mandate our churches to do much of anything.
That is a mandate. Go ahead. That's the request. Are we ready to vote on number 19? Number 6, yes.
Like to propose an amendment in the first line, the phrase be included day of prayer and fasting. If I have a second, I'll speak to it.
Been moved and seconded that the first line be amended to include a day of prayer and fasting. And you may speak to it. Yes, it has been seconded.
I'm probably the last one that should speak to this, as the need is obvious, but I found in my study of Scripture and encouraging our people to voluntary fasting, as we see in our tradition, that fasting is a mode of worship and a means of grace for God's children, and we should encourage this along with prayer, as is the practice of the early church, as seen in Acts 13.
Would you take the chair for a moment? May I speak on this and then take back the chair? Moderator, I'm not prepared to speak against such a motion, such an amendment as this, but I do want to call the attention of the Assembly to the fact that the that there are several verses in the New Testament which unite prayer and fasting. And I think if you will look, I'm thinking of the Gospels, if you look at them, I think you'll find that in most cases, the better text omits the word fasting. I think sometimes we argue here from an incorrect or questionable text. And I'm thinking particularly of the case of the epileptic boy, I believe, and the disciples asked why we could not cast him out. And the answer comes back in the King James, this kind comes not out except by prayer and fasting. Cometh not out, I believe, but by prayer and fasting. The NIV, you notice, I think probably the NASB also, drops the word fasting there. Excuse me. I'm not prepared to say at all that fasting is wrong. On the other hand, I wonder whether or not the New Testament recommends it quite as strongly as some people feel. It is only a matter of recommendation, I understand, and the mandate to fast is no more effective, I suppose, than the mandate to pray. So I'm not objecting to the wording here, but I do call it to your attention that the question of prayer and fasting is it's a little bit of a question whether or not we should emphasize it so much. There are examples of fasting, of course, in the early church, and examples of fasting in the life of Christ. Whether or not those examples of that period are normative or whether they are part of the Old Testament ceremony still, all these things may be debated. I simply speak on the matter of emphasis. This amendment is before us. And any further discussion needed? I don't know. I think I've said the last word in another capacity. number 11.
Jim Hatch, teaching elder from Evangel Presbytery. I would like, on the other hand, sir, to call the attention of the assembly to Matthew chapter 6, where in the same passage that Jesus gives direction as to our praying and our almsgiving, goes on to say in verse 16 and following, and whenever you fast, etc. Thus, I would conclude that the Lord does lay provision upon the church for that as a spiritual exercise. Now, in my own opinion, I think the PCA is not well known to be a fasting church, and therefore I think we may well need to consider this as something worth practicing.
Is there any further discussion or debate? Number 9.
Mr. Moderator, teaching elder Bob Sweet from Presbytery Western Carolinas. I ask that this question be divided. There appear to be two items. One, that a special day be set aside for prayer and or fasting. And secondly, that an offering be taken. Before we vote, are we on the amendment?
The amendment is simply to add the word fasting, I believe.
All right, sir. If I could be recognized before we go to the vote on the motion, please.
Well, if we there's no need to divide, simply the amendment is there. When the amendment simply says fasting, your point is to vote on different things, which will be done. Very good. Those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, nay. I believe the ayes have it. And now the whole statement as amended is before us. Is there further debate? Your point? Number 9, I'm sorry.
Bob Sweet, Presbytery Western Carolina. Mr. Moderator, can we divide the question, please?
Your point is to divide the question, one for a special day of prayer and the other to take up the offering. Is that right? Yes. Yes, you're speaking on this point.
Yes, sir.
The division, yes, Mr.
Fred Marsh,
number 10.
Teaching elder, Mississippi Valley. I have no objection to the votes being taken separately. I don't want my facetious remark earlier to obscure the issue that it has been customary for National Presbyterian Missions to receive a thank offering, and that has been a very significant aspect of their financial support and income for the year. And I would not want the action of this assembly to obscure that fact to the churches which have joined us and may be in the custom of taking that offering at that time. Mm-hmm. We are well aware that that the fact that the assembly has called for an offering, as we discussed earlier with Covenant College, does not mandate every church to take that offering. But I would like for the assembly's action to reflect the seriousness with which this must be regarded in the financial needs that Mission to North America will have.
If there is no objection, I gather that you had no objection to dividing the statement. If there is no objection to the division, I will divide the question and vote. We shall vote first, then on the first two and a half lines, that November 21st be set aside as a special day of prayer for the United States and Canada and for the development of the Presbyterian Church in America. I believe that the point of the division is a special day of prayer and fasting, not the date. The date may yet apply to the offering if this first is voted down. Those who are in favor of setting aside the special day of prayer and fasting, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? Nay. It is passed. The second part, that a special offering be taken in our churches for the work of the committee, and so on, so on. The second part, you're ready to vote on that? Number nine.
Mr. Moderator, Bob Sweet, teaching elder from Western Carolinas. I recognize that we have received the brother and the RPCES into the PCA, and they are now one of us. And I am personally very happy and delighted. The rationale given for the special offering it says that should this assembly accept the church extension and diaconal ministries, the RPCES. Therefore. Well, now, I'm not certain whether we've done that or not, but I do know that our denomination has had a special offering for the ministers and widows and servants of the church since the first year of our founding as a denomination. We have received a number of senior ministers into our denomination, and the relief needs that we are facing are going to be considerable. The Board of Trustees each year has given materials to the church, and the sole source of income into the relief fund is the Christmas offering. And I'm not objecting to having an offering, but I sure would object to having it right on top of the one from which we get the only source of funds that help you and your widows. So I would, on the basis of the motion as it is right now, urge you to vote against the second part and let the NUS fund it out of the normal operating funds like they do any other ministry.
A point of information, the date of the proposed is the 21st, November 21st, about Thanksgiving time. The other offering you refer to is of what date?
Mr. Moderator,
yes.
It's called a Christmas offering, but it normally begins during Thanksgiving week and runs to the